You're listening to City Church Long Beach Sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
We've just wrapped up a series on relationships, and today and next week we're going to be talking a bit about healing. About, well, does God heal? And what's that like? And what do we do with healing? And I've actually taught a fair number of times about healing, and as I prepared for this sermon and just really prayed about who we are and kind of who Jesus is and what the Bible shows, I realized this feels different to me. Today feels different. And I'm really excited because Jesus is good. And he's good for all of us, even in the tricky situations that come up around healing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And something that, there's a story from way back in an old century that I thought about that really introduces the complexity of healing well, I think. It was literally in the last century. My wife and I were living in Mexico City, and we were working with a ministry there that brought in medical and dental teams from the States, and we would go out and we would work in the garbage dumps of Mexico City, which were these massive, massive places where the poorest of the poor, when you couldn't live on the streets anymore, you would move into the garbage dumps. And so we were on these kind of helping lead these teams with medical and dental professionals from Mexico as well as from the States. And so we were in Mexico City, and there was this one team from Columbus, Ohio, where they had come down, and it was pretty early on in our year there. It was probably October, November. And this guy, Jimmy, who was a hairdresser, I think, back in Columbus, he was pretty well convinced that God had given him the gift of healing. And so when we were out in the garbage dumps, we'd set up medical clinics and dental clinics and stuff like that. And we had clowns and stuff for the kids. It was fun. And Jimmy was convinced that he needed to go out and heal the people of this garbage dump. So Jimmy's Spanish wasn't the strongest. We sent a translator with him, but he told the translator, look, I've got this. Oh, Jimmy. And so he goes out and he encounters this older woman who's having a hard time walking. We don't even know if she wanted to be healed. He just sort of interrupts her in her day, and he tells the translator, look, you be quiet, I'm going to do this, right? Because I've got the gift of healing. And, you know, if you were to pray for healing in sort of that church tradition, you would lay your hands on them and you would pray something to the effect of, in el nombre de Jesús, sea sanada, right? Be healed. We don't know what happened. We think maybe Jimmy got confused with something he had for lunch. And so instead, he interrupts this woman, he lays hands on her, and he says, in el nombre de Jesús, sea asada, which means in the name of Jesus, be barbecued. And, you know, I'm not sure it was a great experience for the woman. And it's just how a lot of us have experienced healing. You know, you watch how many people have seen the crazy televangelist, like, just touch the screen and you will be healed. And you're like, that's just weird. And so many of us have felt barbecued. You know, we felt like, I don't know, we get sold a bill of goods here. And some of us were just sort of interrupted in our life. We were just going on about our day, and some well-meaning person came along and decided to heal us. And it felt like, I don't know, like manipulation sometimes. There's a lot of complicated things going on with healing. And so we're going to look at this one story, and we're going to reflect a little bit on healing in the time of Jesus and what healing might look like for us today. So I'd like to invite up Nazaree Puma, who's going to read scripture for us today. If you would welcome Nazaree with us, come on down. And it is on your screens, and it is on your phone, and it's on your handouts if you have a handout. So we stand in honor of God and His Word when it is read. This is from Luke chapter 7. It's kind of a long story, so get comfy.
Okay. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well.
People of God, this is the word of God. You may be seated. Thanks so much, Nazaree. What a great story. What I want to do with this story to start with is I want to skip to the end. I want to skip to the end where it says, and they returned to the house and found the servant well. Here's a servant who's dying. And through this interaction with Jesus, he's healed. I want to skip to the end because that's often, perhaps most often, what we do when we think about healing. We just skip right to the end. Of course, Luke is telling a story. Jesus is living a story and inviting us into this story. But we often like to just skip to the end. Did you get healed? Does God heal? Does God not heal? These are questions that people ask a lot. Are there such things as miracles? You know, we're a church. This is part of our culture as a church, is that we ask a lot of questions. We've created space for everyone to go on their own spiritual journey at their own pace. And when you do that, that means you'll let anyone in, like all you people. And you come in with your own baggage, your own questions, your own concerns. And many of us here in this space, many of us have struggled with doubt. Many of us here have been hurt by other religious communities, people, other religious authorities, people like me who are pastors. And when it comes to this idea of is there physical, miraculous healing, we just skip to the end because we've got this emotional baggage from all the stuff that's happened to us. And we're like, no. I don't know what was going on in Jesus' time, but no, I'm not sure. I don't know if I buy that. And I want to honor that perspective today. I've taught a lot on healing. I've never actually said this. But partly is I'm on my own journey and realizing I want to honor those of us in our midst where they feel like they've gotten barbecued by their whatever religious background they have. And that they're struggling with doubt and disappointment. And so I want to ask a question. And this is true audience participation. This isn't like, oh, Bill's just going to raise his hand. I'm going to invite you to raise your hands if this is you. And this is a real question. And you're just going to, you're kind of stuck anyway. I suppose you could walk out, but I think we need to trust that Jesus is here today, and he actually wants to care for us and teach us some things about who he is, who he was in the first century, who he is now, and what he might be doing in our life. Okay? So let's trust that Jesus is here. But we're going to have to face some challenging things on the way on that journey. Okay? So here's my question for you. If you have prayed earnestly for healing for yourself or for someone close to you, all right, so have you prayed earnestly for healing, for a miracle, for a physical, deep, life-changing healing that was not granted? All right, have you prayed, sought God for healing that did not come? If you resonate with that, can you please raise your hand? Okay? All right, so keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. So these are people who are saying, I've actually really prayed for this. Okay? I've really sought God. I really asked. My hand is not representative. That's also saying, yes, that's me. I've really prayed for healing, and it didn't come. At least once. Maybe multiple times, okay? So that's probably, you can put your hands down. Thank you so much. That's probably about two-thirds of us here, okay? And I just want to say all of us here are on your side, okay? And for those of us who haven't had that experience, it's a jarring experience to really pray. Really seek God and say, gosh, I really need to see healing for my dad or for myself, whatever it is, and for it not to come. Right? And those who raised your hand, you know this, right? There's a certain irony. I threw out my back on Monday, and it has hurt so bad all week. And here I am preaching on healing, and I'm not healed. I'm just not even close. It's going to be a long journey. It's better when I stand. So you'll notice I'm not sitting today because I can barely sit. And if I lie down, it's probably just bear with me. But I'll try not to lie down in the sermon. So by having us show our hands and having us recognize this reality, this is the real world we live in. It's actually the real world Jesus lived in. If you look at someone like the Apostle Paul, he healed many people. You see it in the book of Acts and a couple of his letters. He'll make a reference to it. But he laid hands and people had dramatic healings. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's writing to his friend Timothy, and he's like, yeah, I left our buddy Trophimus. I left him back in Greece, sick. I couldn't heal him. It's this picture of like, yeah, it didn't work. And if you counted up all the people in the first century that were in Palestine, that saw Jesus, that were in the crowds, there were more who were not healed than those who were healed. It's just reality. And sometimes what happens is many of us, particularly people like me, as a religious authority, the answer man, right? We overpromise. Right? We say God's always going to heal you. Or just you didn't have enough faith. Come on, let's do it again. Let's try again. Again, Paul himself, he's in 1 Corinthians, actually 2 Corinthians, he's writing about this malady, this illness that he's had for a long time. And he talks about how three different times he earnestly sought God for healing. And God said no. This was a transformative experience in Paul's life to not be healed. One of the most famous verses that he wrote in the Bible, it's my life verse actually, comes out of that story where he says, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. God says that. No, I'm not going to heal you, but I love you. Like, what? They might not heal me. My back hurts or whatever it is, right? This is the lived experience of the majority of people. It was then and it is now that many, many, many times, most times, God does not heal. And I want to advocate for those of us who this has been our dominant experience. There is room for you here. And for those of us here who have the gift of faith, those of us here who deeply and maturely trust in God's goodness, there's an invitation for us to make sure we're creating space for those who have been disappointed by God's lack of healing. To make sure there's space at the table to listen, to care, to grieve alongside those who did not get the miracle that they sought. But there's a flip side, and we see it in this story, and we see it in life, which is God does heal. I mean, he just does. You see it regularly in the Bible. And as I talk with you and others, I regularly see God heals. God, I mean, the doctors are shocked. I mean, how many of us have heard that story? Oh, the doctors couldn't believe it, that you know, the cancer just wasn't there anymore. You know, they had the test, but then they didn't, and they didn't know what it was, and that the prayers were answered. And so we're going to have a brief moment of audience participation again. How many of you would say, as you prayed earnestly about something, you sought God, you needed the miracle, you really needed God to answer that prayer, that you experienced it. You saw the healing for yourself or someone else in your life. How many people here would say, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I'm not even sure what to do with it now as I look back at it. But you could say, yeah, I have actually seen God heal. So I'd like, this is audience participation. How many people have seen and experienced that, right? So probably about half, all right? Maybe a little bit less than that, about half. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And some of the same people, right? Or maybe actually most of the same people have said, like, yeah, I've actually seen it. And some who raised their hands are either brand new to this journey or would say, I'm not even sure I identify as a Christian, but I've seen this happen. Okay? There are at least a couple of you. And what do we do with that? Like, we get to sit in the discomfort of God not healing. We get to create space for those who, yeah, it's just hard. You know, their sister died young, whatever it is. And we grieve and we wonder, like, God, why? Why? And we have to sit there. We have to just sit in it. And we have those in our midst, many of us who have seen God dramatically heal, myself included. I mean, dramatically, like, that's the dumbest thing ever. How did that happen? What? Are you kidding me? I know we prayed, but I didn't really. I mean, sure, I believe, but I don't think I did. Like, what? They're bad. Like, this is incredible. And in our community here, City Church, this little gathering of people on this journey, the fact that God does heal might be more uncomfortable than when God doesn't heal. Because there are a lot of us here who we're good at doubting, and we've kind of gotten comfortable with doubt and questions. And the fact that God shows up and heals people like this random centurion servant, it's like, what do I do with that? What is that saying to me about, like, how do I seek that? Is there an appropriate way? Do I need to bargain with God? Do I not bargain with God? In which situations do I really, go to the mat and wrestle with God and pray for the healing? Because I don't want to face the disappointment I've had other times when God hasn't healed. And some of us have gone on this journey with Jesus, and we've wrestled so much with doubt that we're not sure God is even a personal force anymore. It isn't more than just sort of the goodness of the universe. And the fact that there are dramatic healings, miraculous healings, I mean documented stuff, it messes with our outlook. And I think it's supposed to. I think Jesus wants us to live in this tension. I was talking with a guy this week, a City Church guy. I'll call him Jose. And he gave me permission to share. And he had a close family friend die over the last couple weeks. Just heartbreaking. And Jose called his brother to let his brother know that their friend had died. And his friend's response was, he was so angry. And he yells across the phone, he's like, I am done with your God. Because all the pain I've seen in my life, all the disappointment, all the times that God hasn't come through, and now here it is. And Jose, he's super sad as well. But listen to his response. I mean, he's gone on this journey. He grew up in a church that had all the answers and God always heals. And he's had to work through the fact that, no, God doesn't. And yet he has seen God heal. And he's mature enough to live in the tension. And he says to me, what I know is I know God loved my friend. And I know God loved my brother. And I know God loves me. I just know it. And I don't know why this happened. I just don't understand. You see how he's able to hold both and live in the tension? And then at one point, he says, he was talking about his friend and his brother and another friend who's struggling. And he said, I just keep loving them and praying for them so that they would know that God loves them. But I think all they understand and all they know is that I love them. And he was so disappointed in that. And I was like, dude, that's huge. Maybe that is God loving them. That you actually can sit in that tension, utterly trusting and holding on to God's goodness, and yet grieving and being confused and sad and in relationship with those who are, and being able to pour out the love of God to them. In this passage, it starts off, the first slide, Kevin. The religious leaders are like, Jesus, you have to do this. He deserves it. They say, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. He gave money. He was a big tither. You got to heal those people, Jesus. Right? You got to heal the big givers. I don't really think that interests Jesus so much. I don't think that's what he's after. And I wonder if they're misrepresenting the man. Because when Jesus comes close, I think we have the next slide. He wasn't far from the house when the centurion sent friends saying, like, oh my God, I didn't realize you were going to come to my house. This is embarrassing. I'm not worthy. The Jewish leaders are like, he's worthy. And he's like, no, I'm not worthy. So I think this is what religious folks often, this is what we do. So we exaggerate. We make it about us and earning God's healing. So the centurion, he's this Roman military guy, kind of an outcast, and yet also has power, this strange dynamic of having privilege, but also being an outsider. He says, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. And you realize, here's this man who clearly is struggling with his own self-worth. Does he matter to himself, to God? And as the story unfolds, when Jesus sees the man's faith, the next slide. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. Again, this is, we like to skip to the end. Is there healing? Is there not healing? Jesus is on the journey with us. And he's listening to your heart. And he's hearing the hope. He realizes, man, you need that healing. Or you've been disappointed before. Or whatever is going on. And Jesus is here now, just like he was there then. And he's saying, wow, I'm amazed at you. I love you. I'm proud that you're willing to risk yourself in trust. Again, and I think this is especially true for those of us who've been disappointed. If we're going to risk ourselves to be open to God, to say, this is my situation, I'm scared, I'm hurt, I've been hurt before, I need you. These are the situations where Jesus comes close, and he speaks aloud, and he says, bless you. Wow, I'm proud of you. I mean, for some of you, literally, just showing up here today was an enormous act of faith. That maybe God is still there. Maybe I could know God. Maybe my marriage could make it. Maybe there's something true in the world. Just showing up today has been a step. And Jesus is here saying, wow, I see your faith. I'm amazed at you. I'm proud of you. And Jesus says this publicly. And I stand here and say publicly, I'm proud of you guys. You're on the journey. You're on the journey with Jesus. The journey of healing. There's a guy who's done a fair amount of healing ministry. His name is Ken Blue. And he wrote a book that had a really significant impact on me as I wrestled with some of the disappointments and some of the encouragements around healing. And this is what he said. He said, not once has anyone complained when we prayed for their healing, even when it did not come. A friend of mine who recently died of cancer told me in the last days of her illness, even if your prayers don't work, Ken, this experience has been more than worth it. For the first time, I have experienced God's love. If I die, I will die alive. And I want to extend that invitation to you today to receive prayer, to pray yourself, to face the reality that God heals and God doesn't heal. This is empirical reality, let's face it. And still, to say, I will move forward on this journey with Jesus. I will actually not just live protecting myself and not risking any dangerous prayers. Oh, there's a temptation. You feel it, right? That temptation, oh, I'm not going to risk. I am not. There's been too much pain. I'm not going to risk praying for that. No, because you're sheltering your heart. And for some of us, because we've been overpromised, it's appropriate to have some boundaries and some limits. But hear the gentle invitation of Jesus. Come. Come. I'll love you. This is what the healing journey looks like. It's one of the best pictures of it is as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these little biographies of Jesus' life. As you read through them, there's a lot of healing at the beginning, and then the healing trickles off towards the end. Because it was never about the healing. It was about the kingdom. It was about this new way of living, this new beloved community. It was about this picture of like, this is what heaven is like, and yes, it includes some healing. But it's just a foretaste. It's just an appetizer of what is to come in its fullness, the way life is meant to be, the way we all get to participate in this community of love and of hope. And the Gospels, just in their very structure, demonstrate that this is what Jesus is about. He's not here to meticulously go one by one and, you know, heal every sore elbow you've got. I mean, and God bless him when he does, because, man, I've had some sore elbows, right? But will you open yourself again to him? And for some of us, it might feel like the very first time. Will you say, I'm going to step in to this God who heals? And whether or not I experience the healing, and I'm going to just trust myself to him that I will, that I know that I will be loved. And maybe that will be enough.